The Fleischmann Yeast Hour, presenting a variety entertainment directed by Rudy Vallee.
This is Rudy Vallee and Company. During the next hour, you will meet these charming people. Ms. Jean Aubert, the lovely star of the Last Parade, Ballyhoo, and Melody, who has just returned from a season abroad. Mr. Charles Chick Sales, America's foremost rural comedian, in town from Hollywood to begin rehearsal for a new fall play. Val and Ernie Stanton, the Anglo-American hillbillies who leave tomorrow for London. Linwood schoolboy Roe, sensational young pitcher of the pennant-bound Detroit Tigers, and old Mars Lou Holtz, who returns this week at your command. Likely songs from Life Begins at 8:40, which we programmed 2 weeks ago, are again on tonight's program. In case you don't remember the titles, they are Fun to be Fooled, What Can You Say in a Love Song, and Let's Take a Walk Around the Block. That lovely trio of Crosby-like southern voices, Dot, K, and M, will in their own odd way bring you the lyrics of Let's Take a Walk Around the Block. For the present, we're playing Fun to be Fooled.
Fun to pretend, fun to believe love is unending. Thought I was done, still it is fun being fooled again. Nice when you tell all that you feel. Nice to be told this is a real thing. Fun to be kissed, fun to exist, to be fooled again. It's that old devil moon having his fling once more, selling me spring once more. I'm afraid love is king once more. Fun to be fooled, fun to pretend, this little dream won't end.
Have a word for Miss Jean Aubert, or rather several hundred words, beginning with piquant and ending up with ravissant. She has recently returned from London, where she appeared with Dennis King in an operetta called The Command Performance at the club Monseigneur. New York saw her last as the star of George White's Melody. She brings us first a new song currently popular in Paris, which will shortly be published here with an English lyric which is yet to be written. The title, Le Chanard qui parle. Ms. Jean Aubert. And now, mademoiselle.
Oui, monsieur Rudy.
Suppose you tell us what your song is about.
It's about love. Do you know what it is, love, monsieur Rudy?
Well, yes, sort of. But what does the title mean, Le Chaland qui part?
Oh, le Chaland. That is what you call a canal boat. You know, a barge.
A barge?
Mm-hmm. And the songs say how nice it is for making love on a barge, floating down the river.
Mm-hmm.
Do you comprenez moi?
Yes, I'm afraid I do. I think we'd better drop the investigation and hear the song. Gentlemen, Le Chaland qui part.
Oh, my father, no better than your friend.
Colbert's next song requires no explanation beyond the title, and the title is...
Oh, that's it.
Woo! That's it!
That popular rendezvous for the New Yorker who doesn't like to travel too far for his nightly enjoyment. Ben Marden's Riviera. Jimmy McHugh and Dorothy Fields have been writing songs for Marden's reviews ever since he opened the Palais Royal last winter. And who better than Jimmy McHugh, who was one of the early pioneers of the Cotton Club, could conceive with Dorothy Fields a song very reminiscent of stormy weather, and I cover the waterfront. It is called Lost in a Fog. Ship at sea, I'm just lost in a fog. My mind is hazy, my thoughts are blue. Guess I'll always be kind of lost in a fog without you. Waiting night and day, like a bump on a log. I'm going crazy, what can I do? Help me find my way, 'cause I'm lost in a fog without you. It was sunny every day. The sky was fair above. But you took that light away the day you took your love. Only fools like me could be tossed in a fog. I've got a heartache I never knew. Guess I'll always be kind of lost in a fog without you. Thank you.
was sunny every day. The sky was fair above. But you took that light away the day you took your love. Only fools like me could be tossed in a fog. I've got a heartache I never knew. Guess I'll always be kind of lost in a fog without you.
Assist me in rendering or tearing apart. Pardon my southern accent. Universal moon above you. Ask the Irish, ask the Greek. They can always understand I love you, no matter how they speak.
Pardon my southern accent, pardon my southern drawl. It may sound funny, oh, but honey, I love y'all. If you don't like my accent, if you don't like my drawl,
the Huron South Dakota boy who made good in the big city, South Dakota. Chick Sale, I believe, stands alone in his chosen medium, the portrayal of American rural characters. Tonight in a sketch called Crossroads, he adds another tintype to his notable gallery. He'll be assisted by Roy James and Elsie May Gordon. I want you to meet Chick Sale. The scene, a small town garage and filling station, run by Windy Miller, known as a great talker. Approaching the garage is a car driven by a tourist wearing a red fez and several badges. Evidently, He is on his way home from a lodge convention with his wife. He is also quite evidently lost. Mr. Sale, as Windy Miller, is talking to his helper inside the garage as the tourist car approaches.
Marvin! Marvin! When you get them brakes tightened up, come on outside. I'll be getting the checkerboard ready. He's the lily of the valley. Doggone it, Marvin. Looks like here comes a fella that wants to buy some gasoline. Doggone it. Find me come before I get to sit down out here.
I beg your pardon, sir. You're married.
Yes, that's my wife out there.
Say, I'd like to get a little information about the roads around
here. Well, sir, buddy, you come to the right fella.
Well, that's fine.
I lived around here all my life. Lived here when this place wasn't anything but sagebrush and Indians.
That's so. Well, you see, I'm in a hurry.
Oh, you're in a hurry?
Yeah.
I'm an old Indian fighter myself.
You don't say so.
Yes, I just like to ruin the Indians. Why, if I hadn't stopped fighting them when I did, don't suppose there'd been an Indian left.
Yeah, that's fine. But you see, I'm in a hurry.
Oh, you're in a hurry?
Yes, I'm in a hurry.
Good. Won't you sit down?
I haven't time to sit down. Don't you understand? My wife is waiting for me out there.
Where you got her sitting?
Why, she's sitting out there in the car in the hot sun.
Let her sit.
Oh, wait a minute. Now, you see, I inquired down at this service station about 2 miles down the road, and those boys told me to take route number 10.
You mean that station painted red and white?
Yes.
Run by Rush Wilson and George Booth?
Yes, that's their name.
Oh, don't believe anything them boys got to tell you.
No?
No, they're the biggest liars in this part of the country.
You don't say so.
Yes, sir. They're competitors of mine.
Oh, I see. Well, nevertheless, they told me to take route number 10. You know anything about that road?
Route 10?
Yes.
Well, now, let me see. You know, it's the most peculiar thing about Route 10. You see, Route 10 was Route 15, then they changed it to Route 5, then there was a lot of argument about 5 and 15, so finally they split the difference to call it Route 10.
Yes, dear, just a minute.
Your wife seems to be a little bit fidgety.
Yeah, she's nervous. You know how women are. Been a long trip.
Yes, I know all about women. Say, where you been?
I've been to a convention.
Oh, that's why you're wearing that red cap?
Yes.
I thought you was a Hindu.
That's a lodge cap. They call it a fez.
I drunk one of them once.
You drunk what?
A fez.
A fez?
Yes, a gin fez.
Yes, dear. Wait a minute. Can't you see I'm trying to get some information?
That's it, buddy. That's the way to talk to them. That's right. Keep them right under your thumb.
Now, wait a minute. What about this road out of here?
At that convention, did you hear any good stories?
I haven't got time to tell stories. I'm in a hurry.
Oh, I wish you'd stay and visit.
I haven't time to visit.
How are you on checkers?
I'm not interested in checkers. Don't you understand? I'm lost. I'm off the road, and I'm in a hurry.
Oh, you're in a hurry?
Yes, I'm in a hurry.
Where are you going?
I'm going on my way to the Canadian border. What about that road?
Oh, you're going to Canada?
Yes.
I've been to Canada.
Well, do you know a road to Canada?
Oh, I know all the roads.
Well, for goodness sake, tell me one. I want to get out of here.
I wish you'd stay for dinner.
Well, I'll be with you in just a minute, honey. This man says he knows all the roads in the country.
You bet your life I do. And if you'll follow my instructions, you can't miss it. You're just the same as there.
Well, that's fine. Now we're getting somewhere.
Now I tell you what to do.
Yeah.
You take this road that you're on and keep straight on this road until you think that you've gone far enough.
Oh, now, look, wait a minute.
Now, of course, you bear a little now and then till you come then to the Baptist Church.
Baptist Church.
Well, that was the Methodist Church. But there's so many Baptists around here that they finally got the upper hand. They took it away from the Methodist. I'm a Methodist myself. You see, You see, the Methodists believe in sprinkling and the Baptists believe in ducking.
I'm not interested in the church. When I get to the Baptist church, then what do?
Well, when you get there, you make a sort of a catacornered turn.
Well, how in the world will I know when I'm on the right road?
Well, the way I figure it, don't make much difference, because you're going to get lost anyway.
I won't get lost. Where do I go from the Baptist church?
Well, now let me see. Well, you keep right on going till you come to a big rock that sits right in the middle of the road.
Middle of the road.
Now, for goodness sakes, don't hit that rock.
Oh, I won't hit the rock.
Sure you'll drive careful?
Yes, I'll drive careful.
Oh, I'm so afraid you're going to hit the rock.
Oh, I won't hit the rock.
That's fine, that's fine. Now, when you get up to the rock, you kind of swerve. Then you keep right on going till you come to Elmer Clark's place.
Elmer Clark's place?
Yeah.
Well, how in the world will I know when I come to Elmer Clark's place? I'm a stranger around here.
Oh, everybody knows Elmer. You can't miss him. He'll be out there in the yard.
Yes, wait a minute.
How long you been married?
Oh, 6 years.
My, too bad. Such a nice looking feller, too. Now you take this road past Elmer's place and keep on going till you come to a cow and calf in the pasture. That's the second calf she's had. That's a Jersey cow. Oh, it's the finest milking cow.
I'm not interested in cows. What about this road?
Oh, the road.
Yeah.
Well, now you keep right on going till you come to the Five Forks.
The Five Forks.
Yeah. Now, there's where you got to be mighty careful.
Got to be careful there.
Oh, you got to be cautious. Oh, extremely so. You see, that's where folks get lost, because there's five roads, and they all lead to different directions.
Five roads, and they all lead to different directions.
Yeah.
Well, which road do I take?
That's it. Now, when you get on the right road, you just keep right on going.
Wait a minute. Now, look here, mister. Do you see this map?
Yeah.
There's the Canadian border. What is that red line with no number running up there to the border?
My, that's a new map, ain't it?
Yes, it's a new map. But what about that red line?
Mind if I show this map to Marvin?
Marvin.
Oh, he's just crazy about new maps.
Never mind about Marvin. Do you know what that red line is?
You know what that is, don't you?
No.
Well, that's that new concrete road.
A new concrete road?
Oh.
Honey, I'll be with you in just a minute. This man says he knows about a new concrete road out of here. Tell me about that.
Well, it's 100 foot wide, takes four cars abreast, straight as a string, not a turn in it, no speed limit, 85 miles an hour, direct from here to the Canadian border.
Ah, oh, thanks. Great. That's the road I'll take.
Oh, you can't take it.
Why not?
It ain't built yet.
This is the Fleischman's Yeast Hour, broadcast from the Variety Theater in Radio City under the direction of Rudy Vallee. Tonight, Rudy introduces Jean Aubert, Chick Sales, Schoolboy Rowe, Lou Holtz, and Val and Ernie Stanton.
Santa. The English hillbillies from Fort Worth, Texas. Val and Ernie are sailing tomorrow in the Leviathan for a date at the Alhambra in London and an engagement in an English review. They pause on the gangplank long enough to give us a parting salute of 21 puns. 2 p.m. Let's go!
Love a duck, Val. What are you carrying that sheet of music around with you for?
But it's 10:30, old dear. I was listening to Rudy Valley singing about his southern accent.
I heard him.
So I thought I'd write one about my British accent.
Lord,
yeah,
love it, not
you,
a...
Yeah, would you like to hear it?
Like to hear it?
Yes. You dropped an eight. Well, I shall jolly well pick it up again in a moment.
Right.
Rudy, will you carry on, please? Tom, my British accent. Excuse my Mayfair drawl.
Not at all.
Overlook my Oxford intonation. I'm not myself at all. You notice my elbows bending?
Yes.
From drinking tea, I take
rather.
My legs are getting slightly bowed from constantly cutting cake. I used to live in Brooklyn, among the Greenpoint
Goyle. Point Goyle.
Who constantly mention oil worth and diamond rings and foil. So pardon my British accent. No disrespect to the crowd.
No.
But I'm off for jolly old London because London Bridge is falling down.
I say, Val, you know, that's a little bit of all right.
You bet it's all right. I know right from wrong.
Do you really?
Oh, Vaughn,
did you learn right from wrong at your mother's knee?
No, over my father's. No.
I saw you last night outside that review near your regular state door,
oh,
John.
I just can't help it. I love to stand there and see the beautiful ladies come out. It's fun.
It is.
It's fun. Reminds one of necking.
Necking?
Yes.
Is necking your idea of fun?
Oh, not my idea, but I'm very much in favor of the chap that's brought it up.
Oh, lovely. You know, speaking of girls, I had a marvelous dream last night.
Really?
Dreamt the most beautiful girl in the world fell in love with me at first sight.
Oh, friend, take Ernie. Go back to sleep again and see if she's got a girlfriend for me.
Oh. There you go. Speaking of my sweetheart, though, reminds me, she had a very serious accident.
What a pity, what a pity.
Oh, she did.
What happened?
Well, you see, she got excited and, well, she swallowed a 50-cent piece.
My word, how is she getting along?
There's no change.
Oh.
It's over.
You're...
Jealous of the money.
Isn't she?
But after all, I wish I had tons and tons of money.
Val, be careful. Remember, having too much money brings misery.
Ah, but with plenty of money, you can pick out the kind of misery you love the best.
Oh, I know you can. How is your sweetheart?
Well, you know, I've been going with the same girl for 15 years.
15 years?
I'm leaving her for good tomorrow night. Do you think she'll miss me?
After 15 years?
Yes.
Do I think she'll miss you?
Of course.
Well, not unless she's a very bad shot.
Oh, my word.
You have to be careful.
Strike me fish and chips. I didn't think of that.
Wow,
well, we'd better be getting back to the boat.
Oh, well, I... You know, we were at the boat today looking at those nice cabins on the Leviathan.
Of course.
You looked all at sea.
Now, how could I look at all the sea when we didn't even leave the dock?
There you go, you landlubber. I don't believe that you know, Val, which is the front end of a ferry boat.
Of course I do, silly. The front end of a ferry boat is the first end to appear.
To appear.
Oh, jolly, eh?
I get it.
Oh, I hate to ride on ferry boats.
And why?
They make me cross.
No, there you go.
Yeah.
But, Val, don't you understand the Leviathan is not a ferry boat?
Of course not.
Far from that. And tomorrow we'll be out on the ocean. We can go into the swimming pool.
Yes.
Or rather, into the smoking room, rather.
Of course.
Where we can put money in the pool there.
Have they moved the swimming pool into the smoker?
No, no, no. You don't. You put money in this pool.
Well, you drop it in the water.
No, no. The pool, I mean,
yes,
is where you bet on the ship's run.
Oh, my word. Is the ship going to run?
Of course the ship's going to run.
Oh, I should be frightfully ill if it just starts sailing casually along the bounding main. And if it starts running, I shall positively die. So help me, bust.
Oh, Val, give over. My, but you're a case.
I beg pardon?
I say you're a case.
You flatter me by 11 bottles.
There you go again. Joke over. You know, I suppose you thought all those nights...
...if it just starts sailing casually along the bounding main, and if it starts running, I shall positively die, so help me, bust.
Oh, Val, give over. My, but you're a case.
I beg pardon?
I say you're a case.
You flatter me by 11 bottles.
There you go again. Joke over. You know, I suppose you thought all those nice, big, white, inflated white hooks hanging along the Leviathan all around the deck this morning, I guess you thought they were large donuts.
Don't be silly. Give over. No fear and what's done.
But what do you think they were?
Well, what were they?
Well, they were lifesavers.
What?
Lifesavers.
You couldn't get one of those things in your mouth, no matter what flavor it was.
Sir,
did you see the captain?
Ah, the captain is an old college teammate of mine.
College teammate?
Of course.
What team did you play on at college?
The Tiddlywink team.
The Tiddlywink?
Yes, I was a head tiddle. Oh, everybody minds.
Team?
Oh, my.
What are you going to do at the ship's concert?
I shall take charge of the collection.
You will?
Of course.
Oh, my word. You'll have to do something more than that.
Why, sir?
All the artists going across, usually, well, they give their services gratis for the Seaman's Benefit Fund.
Very well, then. What should we both do?
Well, I have a little ditty.
What are you going to do with it?
I want you to help me out.
If we keep this up, we'll both be helped out.
No. I mean, why don't you sing a little song, say, with gusto?
Listen, if I can't sing it by myself, I won't sing it with gusto. Nevertheless, I shall have a jolly go at it. Rudy, will you carry on?
His girl is a rich girl. My girl has no dough.
That's right.
His girl wears expensive clothes. Mine wears calico. His girl makes some rich folks. They say she is no good.
Oh,
wow. You think I'd trade my girl for his? You bet your life I would.
Oh, dear. Now that she sang and told some jokes, let's give a joust or sort of a bash at the dramatic art.
Ah, the jolly old dramatic art.
Yes,
we shall bash them all over the valley shopping.
What? Now, the first will be a poem entitled, Mother, You've Worked Hard for Us All These Years.
Now you can go out and work for yourself.
You are. Rudy, are you there?
Well, I shall jolly well give it a doing with stomp and ceremony.
Nice.
Right, I shall take a jolly running leap at this one and carry on.
Right-o.
Ernie,
yes.
Listen. Last night when I was going to bed,
well,
I heard a sound that filled my heart with dread.
What was it?
The sound of a female in distress.
A woman, eh?
Quickly I jumped up and began to dress.
Well, what did you do?
I heard it again. I could no longer stand.
Oh.
Quietly I went downstairs with a revolver in his hand.
A revolver?
And when I gazed into the yard below,
down in the yard,
I saw a sight that set my heart aglow.
What was it?
All the ground was covered in blood.
Blood?
I could not move from where I stood.
Stood.
Yes. And there on the ground was poor Mrs. Briggs.
What? Dead? Murdered?
No, helping her husband kill two little pigs.
Oh.
Loveliest song from Life Begins at 8:40, which opened in New York last Monday. What can you say in a love song that hasn't been said before? About lately, Linwood, schoolboy, role. Sensational young pitcher of Mickey Cochran's Detroit Tigers. As most of you know, the schoolboy lost a ball game down in Philadelphia yesterday. And with it, a chance at a world record for consecutive victory. In spite of yesterday's unlucky sixth inning, he remains the hero of the season in sports in his first year as a big league regular after only 3 years of professional baseball. He has tied the 16-game lead record of three baseball immortals, Walter Johnson, Smokey Joe Wood, and Lefty Grove. He's 22 years old. He comes from El Dorado, Arkansas, and he stands 6'4" without spikes. I want you to meet and briefly hear Linwood Schoolboy Grove. Mr. O, I think I represent the sentiment of a million or so baseball fans when I say that we're sorry you lost that game yesterday.
Mr. Valley, 50 million fans couldn't be as sorry as I am.
You feel pretty badly about it, I suppose.
I feel rotten about it. But I guess maybe I had it coming. I got all the good breaks for a long time. I figure maybe it's a good thing to draw a few bad breaks now, instead of later in the fall. That's Polygram, for instance.
You think the Tigers are going to win the pennant then?
Sure we are. Everybody knows that. It's in the bag.
And the World Series?
I'd like to make a statement on that subject, Mr. Valley.
Go ahead, sir. The microphone is yours.
Ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Bill Terry of New York Giants, Mickey Cochran Detroit Club is going to win this series in four straight ball games. One of those games is going to be a shutout. Hello, Edna. Hello, Ma. How am I doing?
Pardon My Southern Accent, the idea, title, and lyric of which were conceived in the mind of one of Paul Whiteman's newest acquisitions. Johnny Mercer's is the very agile brain that also thought up Lazy Bones, together with the boy who wrote the melody of Blue Prelude. This time, Johnny has written something that might be another Let's Put Out the Lights and Go to Sleep. It's a song that any newly married husband would probably write to his wife during the first few days of their separation as she goes on her vacation. The title? P.S. I Love You. Everybody's thinking of you. Judging by your reaction to last week's program, you want more of Lou Holtz. And more of Lou Holtz you shall have. Return engagements are a habit with Lou. A few years ago, he was held over for 16 weeks at the Palace. Maybe that's an idea. Anyhow, here's Lou.
Hello, Ma. Hello, Edna. How am I doing?
I can pitch, too.
Well, here's a story. I hope you like it. It has to do with a fellow by the name of Sam Lapidus, a Hawaiian. And Sam had an agency, a matrimonial agency on the Lower East Side. And in comes a man that lived in the neighborhood. And he says, "How did this?" Says, "Heard about your agency." Says, "If you'd be so kind." And he says, "You understand me? I'm in the market to get married. You got anything for me?" He said, "Your name?" He says, "Shmolovitz." He says, "Mr. Shmolovitz," says, "I got for you a girl," he says. "A girl 19 years of age," he says. "Weight 117. Blue eyes," he says, "a sweet spot to them." He says, "And on the day you marry her, you get from her father not more, not less than $5,000 net." He says, "I would like to see the photograph." He says, "Would like to see the picture." So he shows him a photograph. He says, "She's got a flat nose. Very flat nose. How come? How come she always got a flat nose?" He was originally from the South. He says, "How come? She got a flat nose, that's all. Got a flat nose." He says, "On her with a flat nose, fui." He says, "Plain fui, and that's all. Goodbye." Goes away, comes back in 2 weeks. He says, "How did this, Dad? Remember me, Shmolowitz? Got anything for me today?" He says, "Mr. Shmolowitz," he says, "today is the day of days." He says, "I have got for you a sweet pie," he says. "I have got for you a sweet patootie, the likes of which you never seen in your life," he says. "A girl," he says, "not more, not less, 19 years old," he says. "Weight 122, if you'll be so kindly." He said, "And on the day," he says, "that you are becoming one, her father gives you only $16,000. He says, "Let me see the picture." Shows him the picture. He says, "What's the matter with the left side?" The fellow says, "It's glass." He says, "A glass eye on her fui and double fui." He says, "Goodbye." Comes back in 2 more weeks. Says, "Anything today?" He says, "Anything today?" He says, "Today is the day of days." He says, "I got for you a sweet pie," he says. He says, "Not more, not less than 23 years of age. Waist 124. Blue eyes, figure like Venus. $60,000 cash or dowry." He says, "Let me see the picture." So he goes into the drawer and he brings out a picture of Jean Harlow. Little Hebrew looks at the picture and says, "Yes, yeah. He says, "That's for me." He says, "You like her?" He says, "Of course." He says, "Well," he says, "I'll tell you, I showed her your photograph and she says, fui on you." Ladies and gentlemen, as an extra added attraction, Rudy and myself are presenting Miss Jean Aubert, the lovely young lady who sang a little while ago, and we are going to do something for you really worthwhile. We're going to play for you something very, serious, a serious dramatic play in French. And these gentlemen who are with Miss Aubert, they don't speak any French, so as they go along, I will translate the scene for you in English. Well, why do you laugh? I speak very good French, don't I, Rudy?
But they don't speak French.
Who don't speak French?
The gentleman who plays.
Oh. Thank you, Rudy. Yes. Well, all right. Have it my way. They speak only French, and I speak English and French, so I will translate as we go along. Miss Aubert. Miss Aubert, would you come here a moment? I'll show you I speak French. Monsieur Aubert.
Le passager, bonjour.
Bon, je vais faire les ravageons, what I mean.
Mais oui, monsieur.
You see, she said yes. I wonder if that meant anything, what I said. Well, now you have the idea. Now, the scene of our drama is the beautiful boudoir of the Empress Josephine, Napoleon's wife. Josephine is reclining on a chaise lounge. A sofa to you. No, we'll make it a bench. Jacques Ledoux, a member of the court, is with her. The curtain rises.
Oh, ma belle reine, je vous adore. Je vous aime plus que mon pays. Plus que j'aime la vie belle.
You see, Jacques is saying to Josephine, who says, baby, he says, I goes for you in a very big way.
Oh, that's very good, mon Jacques. Si fort, si brave. Moi aussi, je vous chéris. Je vous aime de tout mon cœur. Avec toute mon âme. Je t'adore. Je t'adore. Je t'adore.
She says, that's okay with me, my friend. And she says, be sure and shut the door. Continue. She kisses him. He kisses her. She kisses him. He kisses her. Now, but suddenly he stops. He draws away. Something must be wrong.
Qui est-il? Pourquoi est-ce que vous m'embrassez?
He says, now here, big boy, what's the matter? Why have you stopped making love?
Il faut que j'arrange le cordon de mon soulier.
The big sap says, I've got to tie my shoelace.
Mais vous êtes fou?
Sounds like just plain fooey to me.
Pardonnez, ma chère. Alors je vous embrasse encore.
He kisses her again. Again.
Bon empereur.
Napoleon just came in. He found Josephine and Jacques in a clinch. Now they're in a jam.
Josephine, je fais tout ici. Qui est cet homme?
He says, who is this egg in our joint?
Je refuse d'être interrogé. Je refuse de subir un interrogatoire. Je vais partir chez ma mère. Je vais aller chez ma mère, cette minute même. Vous ne pouvez pas me faire ça à moi, vous comprenez. Je suis l'impératrice. Je suis l'impératrice. Je refuse d'être traité comme ça. Sortez. Allez-vous-en. Allez-vous-en.
She won't talk.
Qui est cet homme?
Napoleon insists. He wants to know who the egg is.
La vie est un jour de mi-carême. D'autres se marquent. Moi, je ris. Dans la nuit, tous les chats sont gris. Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de pouvoir est arrivé. Chez moi, c'est Dixie.
Chez moi, c'est Dixie. Oh, he says he's from the southern part of France.
Qui va-t-il à la chambre de ma femme?
Napoleon says, how come, sir, you all, sir, are in this room with my wife, sir?
Chien, aussi si vous allez mourir.
Oh, Napoleon saw he threatens to kill Jacques. I think Josephine is going to faint.
Napoleon, je suis malade. Je suis faible. J'ai besoin de nourriture. S'il vous plaît, cherchez un dollar dans le bol à sucre sur le buffet et achetez-moi une bouteille de l'air.
Ah, the poor thing. She says, Napoleon, I'm very sick. She says, Napoleon, will you do me a favor? You go next door and you buy me a bottle of milk. I am very weak. You take a dollar out of the sugar bowl in the sideboard. Remember, though, Napoleon, only take $1.
Vive la France!
He says, sure, I'll go down to the corner and buy you a bottle of milk.
Jacques, nous sommes seuls. Embrassez-moi. Regardez-moi dans les yeux. Et dites-moi que vous m'aimez.
Oh, Josephine says, look, we are alone again, Jacques, my pet. Draw me close to you. Look into my eyes and tell me that you love me.
Je t'adore.
Oh, he says, I'm a crazy for you, my horny. He says, I'm a mad for you. I'm a gone wild. They are in each other's arms. He says, but for God's sake, shut the door. Oh, Napoleon, he is back again.
Josephine, mon voyage chercher d'oreille. Quand je reviens, je trouve ma femme dans les bras d'un autre homme. Savez-vous ce que je vais faire? Savez-vous ce que je vais faire?
So he says, I come back to find this. I'm only your husband, Josephine. But I'm not going to stand for this sort of thing. You send me with $1 to buy a bottle of milk. And I come back to find you, my wife.
in the arms of another man. Do you know what I'm going to do? Do you know what I am going to do?
Oh, you, Caliboufal!
Josephine says, good heavens, what are you going to do?
The Gabriel Lorjon.
He says, I am going to keep the change from that dollar.
Like a ship at sea, I'm just lost in a fog. My mind is hazy, my thoughts are blue. Guess I'll always be kind of lost in a fog without you. Waiting night and day, like a bump on a log. I'm going crazy, what can I do? Help me find my way, 'cause I'm lost in a fog without you. Next week, another Fleischman variety cast with new people and new tunes. The makers of Fleischman's Yeast were, of course, among the first to sign the president's re-employment agreement. This is Rudy Valley bidding you all good night. To be tossed in a fog, I've got a heartache I never knew.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.